Well, I am so happy to be back here for several reasons. First of all, this is my favorite place to speak. And even though a lot of the faces have changed in the 2 years that since I've been here, the love is still the same. So congratulations, everybody, for keeping that love flowing, that one power and one love. Well, these past 2 years have been almost overwhelming as I battled stage 4 ovarian peritoneal cancer. It was given a 50-50 chance of survival. And that's improved now from what it used to be a lot. I was tested in myriad ways, even though I always considered myself a self-sufficient person with strength of spirit, mind, and body, bordering, as my husband likes to say, on compulsive self-reliance. So we accuse each other of that, although these last 2 years have changed that quite a bit. This is my husband, Reverend Dr. Richard Howe. Yeah. And that's Calista.
But out there, she's, I'm hearing her.
Yeah, don't forget me. You go sit in my chair. So this was a challenge that I never thought I would have to face. I was overly cautious in getting mammograms regularly, and especially colonoscopies, because my dad died at my age, said 75 at the time, from colorectal cancer. So I was, I didn't want that. But little did I know that my spiritual choreographer of my life had already decided the rhythm and the melody and the chord progression in its mind, and I was facing the dance of a lifetime. I've been working towards my dissertation, as she said, for a PhD in transformative social change at St. Luke University in California. I've been working on it, taking my classes and getting everything I needed before my dissertation. And I just recently had my dissertation proposal approved, and so I was ready to start finishing my research and writing the thing. I love the challenge of research, even as I myself was my own subject. I had chosen to study how someone with complex PTSD from trauma in childhood had somehow been able to have had several successful careers and as an adult, had mostly had happy, resourceful, and fulfilling events in my lifetime as an adult. I'd been in marketing and advertising. I worked for Motown Records when they moved their corporate offices to California. And that was before I accidentally went to UCLA and earned my BA with Magna Cum Laude honors in English with minors in music and Spanish. And then I went on to Cal State University of Northridge for a teaching credential in K-12 education, after which I taught gifted and talented elementary school children, and I occasionally taught classes at the community college. As a writer, a dancer, an actor, a musician, I didn't realize I had yet to face my biggest challenges in all domains, mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual. There was so much life ahead for me. I had so much waiting for me to do yet. And so much singing, so much dancing. I always wanted to be a ballerina when I was a child, but scoliosis nipped that in the bud. Writing, teaching, crafting, reading, and so forth. I saw all that in front of me, and I was looking forward to it so much. Well, after teaching 10 years in California, where I was active in a Unity Church of Practical Christianity, the church sent me to Unity Village. We hired a new minister, and she said, you have to go to Unity Village. So she sent me to take CEP classes, and that's where I met Richard. And then we both ended up in ministerial school, me first and then him a year behind me. And I kept on writing. I had several stories published in Unity Magazine, and I was just feeling, you know, like everything was just rolling along beautifully. We then returned to California after we had served at least four different ministries around the country, Unity Ministries. And we decided that we didn't want to do that anymore for a while. We were just tired out. Believe me, you guys were so wise not to have a minister. Not a minister. But the way that you operate this center is just perfectly. You get a little bit of everything and more of what you want if you want it, and yet you don't have all of that pressure on a minister to perform 24 hours a day, because most people don't know that that's the kind of job it is, 24/7. So after, let's see, we returned to California. I taught school there again for six more years. And then we moved to Washington State after our grandson. And I taught there for another 4 years. And we were active in a Quaker church. And it was 3 years of wonderful learning experience about conflict resolution and listening to spirit. And we just fell in love with them. But whatever I was doing and wherever we were, spirit and the arts were always a part of my life and my presence. I continued to write, to sing, to read, to craft, to act, and to dance my life along. After my brother-in-law, Clarence, Richard's younger brother, called us to be with him and his wife in Louisville, Kentucky. He was a professor at a university there, and she was head of the whole department. And he developed a very virulent type of throat cancer. So there was yet another challenge for us to meet. And as he neared his death, there was a whole lot of family dysfunction and drama in that. So I would drive 6 hours south to Hendersonville, where we now live, and visit my best friend since I was 10 years old. So after the funeral in Louisville, my husband and I went ahead and moved to North Carolina ourselves, and we retired. And we still run an alternative ministry called PATH, which stands for People Accepting Their Holiness. And now it used to be a group that met during the week at a coffee shop ministry. And we discussed spiritual topics and life issues and things. And once the COVID hit, we continued doing the same thing. We just do it on Zoom now, which means people in other places can join us. So if you were interested, we meet at 2 o'clock on Wednesday afternoons, and I do most of the facilitation, although sometimes Richard does, and sometimes other people bring up topics and facilitate. And it is church for us. After you've been a church minister, it's really hard to go to somebody else's church, and they don't do it like you would do it. So this comes pretty close to how we do church. Very informally, very lovingly, and, you know, whatever happens, happens, and we all, you know, we roll with the punches. So we moved to North Carolina, and we started up our PATH ministries again. We went to the Unity Church a few times, actually got involved with it for a little bit. And then we also went to the Unitarians, and we went to Congregationalist churches. We're kind of nomadic churchgoers. A lot of times we don't go at all. Believe me, after all those years in ministry, we've seen enough of the inside of churches to last us a lifetime, so we don't feel too badly about it. But what I think we've been talking about lately that we miss is community. Being a part of the group. And so whenever we come here, I always feel like I'm part of the group. In my mind, I'm a part of this church. And who knows where that might lead. So anyway, I had a great time when we moved to North Carolina because my best friend and I had also been singing together since we were 10 years old. And we went down to her voice lesson, and we sang something for her voice teacher, and her voice teacher said, well, that was just great. Maybe we should form a trio. And we did. So this highly trained, gorgeous voice soprano joined us, and we sang harmony. We did all the old songs. For over 10 years, people paid us to sing. I mean, month of December, we usually had about 25 bookings between Thanksgiving and Christmas. So even in my sixth and seventh decades, people were paying me to hear us sing. I couldn't believe it. Okay, you heard me right, and you heard earlier too, that I'm working on a PhD. I went back to college to pursue a second graduate degree at age 70. My husband had done it 2 years before me, and he's smarter and older than I am, so I was determined to do it too. So taking everything into consideration, I chose to write an autoethnography wherein the writer must objectively observe themselves and examine their own life from some specific academic perspective or psychological perspective. So I was both the researcher and the research subject. So I had to relive an awful lot of things from my childhood and discovered that I was most likely suffered from complex PTSD. Poetry, the arts, literature, music, art, and dance had been the saving graces for me throughout my childhood and school years and my whole life. So I wanted to see if those things, my engagement in those arts, had helped me recover to a certain extent from all the effects of childhood trauma, including a divorce, an alcoholic family, childhood sexual abuse, near poverty, medical issues of scoliosis. Just there's a whole bunch of things, yeah. So sometimes I had to re-experience some of those traumas in order to get in touch with the feelings I had and examine them and see what part the arts had played for me. So I absolutely fell in love with going to Saybrook University. All of the classes challenged me on a level that I hadn't operated on before. I had my master's degree. It was nothing like working on a PhD at all. So finally, I was dancing the tango with academics. You know, they listened to what I said, and I listened to what they said, and we all, you know, just did what I thought was marvelous work towards social change. However, about 3 years ago, I began to feel exhausted all the time. Plus, I had this little pinched feeling right here, the left side of my abdomen, and I told the primary care physician about it, and she didn't seem to be particularly concerned about it. She attributed mostly to my age, aging process. You know, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, you know.
Yes.
So deep within myself, I knew something was wrong. I just knew it inside. And I've always said, you know, we really ought to be the first ones to know when something's wrong physically, because our body's trying to tell us something if we're really paying attention. Well, unfortunately, I was right. I even had to quit singing in my trio and performing because my last performance with them, after the show was over, unfortunately, the audience had left, I fell flat on my face. just weakness, you know, a lack of strength and endurance. And you put a lot of energy when you're singing and doing a live show, an awful lot of energy, more than most people probably know. So at that point, I had no idea what my dance card was going to be filled in with next. So I found out in a most alarming way. After we sort of had it out with my primary care physician, one night I was just doubled over with cramps, and I thought, I can't be going through puberty again. You know, it was awful the first time. So Richard took me to the emergency room in the hospital, and I started to hemorrhage once I got there, and I was diagnosed immediately by the ER doc with cancer. He referred me to this wonderful oncologist.
Shh, mommy's talking.
Obviously, she's not impressed.
No.
Does anybody mind if he vets her up, please? She just likes to visit.
Yeah.
Is there a problem?
Absolutely.
Okay,
no.
Wonderful. Thank you. She'll probably come around and visit you. Oh, you're going to come up here and steal the show, huh?
Yeah.
And she's got eyes on him.
Wow. Oh. I thought that was a pill when I first met her.
That's Charlie.
So anyway, the ER doctor referred me to this wonderful oncologist at Hope Women's Cancer Center in Asheville, and her name is Dr. Amy Alexander.
Mm-hmm.
Since I had already had a diagnosis, though, from the ER doc, my imagination always takes me to the worst possible ends of something. I don't know if you have that problem, but I have to reel it in a lot. But with that diagnosis from the ER doc, I was already prepared to die, as most people do with this type of cancer that I have. And the prognosis wasn't very good in stage four. Several friends, plus my brother-in-law and my father, had died horrific deaths from cancer. And I decided ahead of time that I would just face the consequences and surrender to the inevitable.
Okay.
This is not the time to get the
zoomies.
See, you shouldn't have prayed for the animals.
they need it the most.
That's cute.
And we got a lot of women here today.
I know, isn't it wonderful?
Yeah.
That's part of the warmth that I feel.
That's why I thought it was appropriate. I mean, I picked it before all these guys came. And then when I saw the dogs coming, I went, this is perfect. I've been sent to sign. This is perfect.
Yeah. And just to stop for just a quick second, Bill lost his lovely old companion yesterday, and we're so sorry. I know how much you loved him and how much he loved you. He's gone across the rainbow bridge.
Yeah.
Anyway, so when I met, so I had decided not to put anybody, my family, my friends, anyone through all this awful thing that I had witnessed my friends and other family members have with cancer. So I wasn't afraid of dying. I've never been afraid of dying. But I do have fears of how and how long. You know, I think most of us do that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So when I met Dr. Alexander, however, after she outlined the proposed treatment of chemotherapy and major surgery, along with my life expectancy of less than a year if I didn't go through those treatments, I talked to my family, my friends, and they kind of urged me to at least try the chemotherapy. So I said, okay, but if it gets too bad, I'm checking out. And Dr. Amy was wonderful. She said, I know people. And if this gets too rough on you, if it's too miserable, I won't let you suffer. And she kind of winked at me and smiled, and I feel like I knew exactly what she meant. And that really also gave me the courage to go ahead. But you're back.
Girl.
How can you not laugh at that energy? God, I wish I had those. Just a bit. Hello. Okay.
Oh my goodness.
It's
okay.
Go back with Pop Pop. Usually she just wants to mosey around and visit people. See, you spurred her on this morning. So even though the team, Dr. Alexander's team, did everything they could, I still was nauseated, weak, dizzy, bedridden for months. And you know, there were days where I just wanted to give in, but they kept encouraging me that these infusions of poison chemicals were going to make me strong enough for the surgery they wanted to do. I begged Richard several times, just let me go, just let me go. And he held me in his arms while I sobbed. And then once or twice he had to call an ambulance to go to the hospital again. Make matters worse, the drugs made me dizzy and disoriented, and when I could stand up and walk a few steps, I fell twice. Once I broke my wrist and then fell again and fractured my hip. Oh, I know, it doesn't rain, but it pours, I think the saying is. So both of those things were extremely painful in the middle of all this. One required extensive rehabilitation in a task, spent 10 days in a rehabilitation center until COVID started taking that over and I got out of there. So my inner dance now almost came to a standstill. I didn't feel like doing anything. I couldn't read, I couldn't concentrate, my memory was just gone. So time came for the surgery after my first two rounds of chemotherapy, and I was operated on by three specialists. Two of them were handpicked by Dr. Alexander, and she was the third. They operated on me robotically, all three of them at the same time. So I only had one surgery, but three operations. Hmm. And the surgery was so unprecedented that it was filmed and it's being written up in a medical journal. I underwent one more round of extended chemotherapy just to be certain they had gotten everything during the surgery. And I had tests before or after. I mean, it was just constant tests for this, that, and the other. And I had this drawer full of pills at home. I spent extra time in the hospital because some things weren't quite right, weren't calibrated right. So I'm on a strong drug now that is 70% effective in keeping this type of cancer away. Now, to start with, I only have 50-50 chance of surviving to start with. Now, I've got a 70% chance that I've been cancer-free for a year. So, yeah. Thank you, Spirit. Thank you, Calista, because she stayed right by me. She was in bed with me every day, just cuddled up, comforting me. Now, all this costs a lot of money. If you have insurance, which we do because we're on Medicare and then we have something on top of that, Medicare Advantage or something, you're very lucky. Not everybody has that in this country. So if you have it, you just assume, well, I'm sick, I go to the doctor. And they'll bill me what's my part of it later on. So this pill that I'm on, which is another form of chemo, it's just okay. The pill form, you know. They are fooling me. Costs, are you ready for this? $16,000 a month.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. I told them, I said, I can't. They said, no, what? That's our income for 6 months. So AstraZeneca, who makes the drug, also has programs available to help people out like us. So I don't pay 1 cent of that $16,000 a month. That's a miracle in and of itself. Still, the economics of cancer, even with insurance, are just hinging on catastrophic, and in some cases they are. Copays, tests, prescriptions, plus the loss of income from my singing. It made it financially difficult. Coupled with a major personal expense of a specially tailored cancer, post-cancer health program, threw us into debt. But you know, somehow we make it every month. We're not homeless. We got clothes on. We eat better than we've ever eaten because of this health program. Every month we manage to make it, and so the dance goes on, even though it's a lot slower now. Through it all, I was cared for by my beloved husband, Richard. He took on all the household responsibilities of grocery shopping, cooking, and cleaning, as well as caring for all of my medical needs and appointments. And you don't know what humility is until your husband or significant other has to change the bed. The stress on him was immense, but he always returned to my side to care for me. I was uplifted by my spiritual beliefs and by my friends in and out of PATH ministry. From all over the nation and several foreign countries, they wrote, called, visited, texted, prayed for me and with me, laughed with me, and commiserated with me, even while my hair fell out. They gave me the courage not to quit treatment, and they reinstated my faith in humankind. My daughter and three grandchildren desperately wanted me to live, and they couldn't imagine life without Gaga, as they call. As I reported my ups and downs on Facebook and on the phone, my strength increased, and I began to realize I needed to live. I wanted to live. I still had to dance. I hadn't yet fulfilled my purpose for being here. I had things to celebrate with my husband, lessons to teach my daughter and grandchildren, experiences to share with my friends and colleagues. I still had to finish healing from the remnants of my childhood trauma. And I had to complete my dissertation so that my healing could be shared with others. That's the driving force for me. I had to give other people who had experienced similar things as I had as a child. I had to share my experience so they could have hope for their own healing. And I might be able to give them a couple of things that I have done with the arts that I'm just sure facilitated that healing. I had the moral, ethical, and spiritual responsibility to pass on possibilities and to dance my original childhood dream, if only in a different way. Now I face at least a year or maybe more finishing my dissertation. The old brain isn't quite as sharp as it used to be. But I have so much more to include now. This experience of cancer, the kindness of people, the intelligence of medical science and of doctors who care for you and give you their very best. You know, all that is going to be filtered into my final dissertation. It's an experience of healing both physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. And now I walk without a cane most of the time. I can cook a little and wash dishes. I can plan meals, and sometimes I even go to the grocery store with Richard. And I do a little modified chair yoga. Once a month, I even meet with my old trio members. And we have lunch together at one of our houses, and then we sit and sing for about an hour. And oh, my goodness, is that ever infilling. Harmony just sings for me. Throughout this, I've been treated as a family member by Saybrook University faculty and students. They treat me with love, respect, encouragement, and the support that I need, that I will need, to finish and earn my doctoral degree. Before this, I used to say jokingly, because people will always say, at your age, what are you going to do with a doctor? I said, I just love learning. And they'd say, yeah, but what do you need the degree for? And I'd say, because Dr. Douglas is, sounds so alliterative, and I was an English major. Well, I found out that it's a whole lot more than that. And now I can affirm that this experience strengthened my faith in a plethora of ways, and I want to help others transform their lives as well. I believe I have had the help of spirit, scientific medicine, and the goodness, love, and care of other human beings. And it's the spirit within that kept me wanting to live. At almost 77, I no longer have to remind myself that we are all one in spirit, and we dance together for the good of all. There's an African proverb, and I know that I'm butchering it, but basically it says that when things are at their worst, that's when you most need to dance. And we've seen that with our own indigenous peoples around the world. How important that is. One other thing I learned through my dance with cancer is to trust myself.
She's dancing.
She is.
She's dancing.
She'll be asleep all the way home.
Yeah.
But one other thing I learned in my dance with cancer is to trust myself. Because it's something that children of dysfunctional families have a very hard time doing. Everything that they think is right or that should be in place or shouldn't be happening, everything, they're wrong all the time. And so they don't trust themselves anymore. So I have learned to trust myself, something which abused children find hard to do. I went out on a limb and was brave enough to trust that I knew something was wrong, even though the doctor said there wasn't. I summoned up enough courage to say yes to chemotherapy treatment and major surgery, when the facts were laid out for me by people that were wise and caring. And I developed the strength to come out of it with a new sense of myself and what I am to do for the rest of my life. I know it's going to be a long one so that I can accomplish all my newly found goals. I did not sleep a wink last night. I had one of those nights where the mind racing goes, I wrote 3 or 4 books last night. I wrote plays and music and just all kinds of things, you know, and I wish I could tell you what any of them were, but they're gone. Even if I become a super centenarian, even if I don't live in a blue zone where people tend to live well past 100, I know that I have been blessed to dance with cancer. And now I invite you, whatever challenges you may be facing, it's not just cancer, it's whatever. Whatever has happened in your lifetime, whether you buried it and it was decades ago, or whether it's right on your stovetop now when you go home, to join in the dance with spirit with me, take a hand of someone near you, if you will. If you feel comfortable doing that. Okay, and can someone make sure someone takes this man's hand over here? Thank you so much. And I want you to sway to this song to remind yourself of the truth that sets us free. You can sing with me as you pick up the words and the melody, or you can just hum, whatever. And then as we go through it a couple of times, because it's very short, and then I'll give our little bit of a movement meditation, because we're going to be swaying with the music. We are one, we are one, I am you, you are me, we are one. And in this unity, we will live in harmony, and peace will come, for we are one. We are one, we are one. I am you, you are me, we are one. And in this unity, we will live in harmony, and peace will come, for we are one. Continue humming that. Anything you want to be. Yes, we are one in this life. We're even one after death. In the words of our recently departed sister, Clea Altoff, whom many of you know very well, we honor her with her own prayer. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for awakening us to our truth, to our radiance, to our healing, to our love. And so it is. And in this unity, we will live in harmony, and peace will come, for we are one.